Hello and hi, welcome back to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Daniel A. Bella, who has returned to talk one more time about this year's Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Film Festival, which is in New York City from March 4th through March 8th. Tickets are available from their website, which we'll talk about later. Hi, Daniel. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Summer, for having me back.
It's like you have a film festival dedicated to one of my favorite authors, and you're also exploring works inspired by other, shall we say, altered perception of reality writers, and that can always be fun, right?
Oh, absolutely. Never a dull moment here.
So, are there any special highlights, features, or documentaries for this year's festival that you'd like to talk to? I think this year's festival is at the Museum of the Moving Image, the whole entire lineup?
Yes. I think that's like a major highlight because for anyone who is, people who have not been there, the Museum of the Moving Image is a futuristic museum devoted to film, sets, props, costumes. It is the perfect place for a film festival, especially our the PKD festival. And in fact, I believe on the third floor, there's a miniature version of the Tyrell building, which was used in Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. So for those who come to our festival, not only will they be privy to amazing films from all over the world, but they will also have an opportunity to wander about and go to the various floors and the various exhibitions they're having.
So just out of curiosity, what was the inspiration for finally, you know, consolidating everything and having the film festival in such an awesome location?
Well, it was more, for quite some time we wanted to have it there, but it was a question of the right timing in establishing credibility. You see, NOMI normally does not allow any film festivals to screen there. There's just one other festival, and that's a Queens festival. So for us, it's an honor to really be part of this. Basically, it was all about building credibility with them. And I think what really did it was last year when we opened up on a Thursday night when they're usually not open, and we were able to pack over 800 people in one night. And so that sort of was convinced them that we could probably do a whole festival there. So shortly afterwards, I spoke to the one of the main trustees there, and we scheduled one for this year.
Excellent. Well, I hope everything works out as well for them as well as for you, because like I said, this is such love and attention to detail and hard work has gone into not just this film festival, but the international one as well. And that you're getting so many different stories entered from so many different filmmakers, both in North America and around the world, is just a testament to how influential Philip K. Dick's work has been.
Oh, absolutely. We have films from literally all over the world this year. We got films from as far as Uganda to Iceland, from U.S. to Japan and China. So we're really covering all four corners of the planet. It's very exciting to really, I believe this is the first time we have films from every single continent. I'm not including Antarctica. That's maybe a few years down the line, but the livable continents. We've got some from Africa, from Europe, from Asia, from North and South America. So I'm very excited about this.
Nice. So are there any highlights, any particular features or documentaries that someone who would buy tickets to this event them to miss?
Absolutely. There are quite a few of them, as a matter of fact. To start off with, we have the final restoration producer of Blade Runner made a short film called Love Bite. It's more of a zombie apocalypse film. but it is by the producer of Blade Runner, and that's definitely one of our highlights. We also have a film by the producer of Lone Gunman, the X-Files spinoff, as well as Damien Mayans. So he's going to be we are screening his film. We have a film by the director, actually one of the leading figures of Mythmakers. His name is Keith Barnfather, and he's been a writer for the Doctor Who. So if you're a big Doctor Who fan, we have about a 30-minute web series that they'll absolutely love. What else? We have, these are just shorts. Now, in terms of features, of course, we have a short history of time travel, where it's a very serious documentary on exploration of time travel, our fascination with time travel. And as part of the Q&A, we have Dr. Ronald Mallett, who's actually currently working on a system of a theoretical system of sending particles back in time. And he'll be there updating us on his research. And in fact, I've heard from him that they're looking to make a movie on his life story. So he'll be there, as well as the director of the program. That's really very exciting. There are two other themes that are very relevant this year. One of them is, the second one is on CRISPR technology, genetic engineering and CRISPR technology. We've got a feature and a short that explore the ethical ramifications of, basically playing with our DNA. One of them is Anya, A-N-Y-A, and the other one is Eva, A CRISPR Story. So they both explore what happens when we start playing and modifying our own DNA and how that affects and impacts our perception of what it means to be human. What else is there? We've got, what I find is, because we have a very small number of films this year, I mean, other years we have more than 100 shorts. This year we have only about 40, simply because of the time, not because of the number of submissions. Every single one is a great, great short. I mean, there's no filler here. Everything is great. And I personally curated all of them. I mean, we've had our programmers, but I always make sure that I take a look at all the films that are ultimately exhibited. So I guarantee those who are big sci-fi fans, especially Philip K. Dick, that they won't be disappointed. Every film is great. And we've broken down the program to various categories. We got the conscious sci-fi, I refer to, which is basically the exploring the political and social implications of what's happening today. We're taking it one step into the future. Then we got horror sci-fi, you know, the films that were shaped by Alien or Predator. Then we got the best of Philip K. Dick shorts. And by the way, one of them is actually based on his short story, Beyond the Door. And then, of course, we have international sci-fi, you know, sci-fi from all over the world, from Croatia to Japan to Iceland to Argentina. So it's a very exciting program we have this year.
Nice. And now you've also expanded the festival to include now a screenplay competition. Talk a little bit about that, how that came about, and what sort of stories you were looking for.
Well, yeah, it goes without saying that the technology today, especially the use of red cameras, makes it easy to, with a decent DP, to produce a film of high quality. Gone are the days when we had to worry about overexposing a film with film stock. However, what I see lacking, where I see some improvement, is in the writing. The writing is good, but it can be much better. And because of that, I always felt that the writing is the beating heart of any film. If the writing is not there, the script really isn't good. All the special effects in the world cannot make up for it. And that applies both to the indie scene and the mainstream. The writing is key. It's absolutely essential. So I made it a point this year to start emphasizing that, because it's very easy if you're a filmmaker out of film school, fall back on your red camera, your DP, and your editing. Oh, we'll fix it, or we'll unedit. And not realizing that the script has to be awesome, and then everything else follows suit. you'll be able to get good actors. You'll be able to do something, even on a low budget, that is able to really impact people. So our goal is to promote writing, because that's really the beating heart of any major film.
So what was your ultimate goal besides encouraging writing? Mm-hmm. Are you in contact with the screenplay finalists to sort of help them find a pathway to get these films made afterwards? Are you in touch? Are producers contacting you to let them know about the finalists and the winner? Because, I mean, this is a big festival. People pay attention to this festival.
Sure. This is year one. So our goal, obviously, is to start getting the word out to producers and writers. In fact, this year we have an unusual number of producers coming to the festival. So any writer, a semi-finalist who does come to the show will have an opportunity to discuss with producers the work. I mean, looking to next year and the year after, we would like to create specific events within the festival that producers can mingle with writers and perhaps brainstorm some ideas. But at the very least, having their name out there and associated with the festival will start, getting some recognition for the writers who are involved. So this year was our beta test. We wanted to see what kind of results, and we got a decent number of submissions. And I expect in following years to the number to increase, and we will work very more closely with the producers to make sure these guys get the recognition they deserve. I mean, some of the writers already that are participating have won some competitions in other areas. But he's saying, if you're a writer, you're like a filmmaker, you've got to get exposure. You got to get it out. Your name has to be out there. Mm-hmm. It's just to differentiate yourself from the rest of, all the other voices. So what we like to do, hopefully, is we create a forum, another promotional vector for writers now to start getting the work out. So this is year one. We expect to expand more upon this, because I think it's going to play a more integral part in how we interact at the festival. And our goal ultimately is to really get the word out for everybody, not just the writers, but also filmmakers as well.
Talk a little bit about the selection, like the choosing the finalists and judging the finalists to pick a winner.
Well, we basically had a couple of our judges who have our writers and review the screenplay. And we were looking for specifically for four components. We got one type of screenplay, which is sci-fi world building. So there, our focus is more on their ability to architect a world from scratch, to go into the minutiae of what the sci-fi world looks like. And we were paying very close attention to the ability of the writer to put us into the near future about this new world. And say, for instance, what will be an example, like Minority Report, is an the way it was designed, the way it was structured, is a kind of a sci-fi world building. So here our focus was on that. Then we also have the science fiction competition, not the sci-fi, the world building. And here the focuses are on stories, human stories, and how the development technology impacts our ability to recognize what it means to be human. So here we're looking more for characterization, development, for more are these empathic characters? Are these people that we like to relate to? What is their? How is the character developed? How does he grow or she grow over the course of the story they're telling? And then lastly, we have the supernatural or horror, which is more focused on creating that sense of the eerie. So that the focus there more is on the atmosphere. How does the character and the environment they live in build an atmosphere of the supernatural, of the other? So the focus here is not on any violence or slasher style supernatural, but more the eeriness, the otherness that exists on the other side of the fence. And there we were looking for that, the ability to capture that in writing. And so there you have it. Basically, our main criteria was each one based on a different subject. The world sci-fi world building, sci-fi competition, and the supernatural.
So there are, I'm looking at the schedule here. It's a very aggressive schedule, very, very packed for your shorts program and your features program. This looks like there's not enough time for one person to see everything.
I'm telling you, any block you go to, you're going to be very impressed because the films are like the best of the best. I mean, we got some amazing films this year. We had a hard time selecting these 40 or 45 shorts that are being screened. It was very frustrating because there's some amazing shorts we can show. So we had to, you know, we basically were looking upon other factors, and it was tough. I mean, because some of them are really amazing. They're all of them are, they're really high quality. And the festival is starting to even get the attention of producers in Hollywood. I mean, I was, get the producer of Lone Gunman, or the restoration producer of Blade Runner, or Doctor Who. Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers. So I think I'm very excited about the quality of the films. They're really good. The stories are good. We got a super sort of a UFO style feature called Magic, and very well written and well choreographed, and so I'm very excited about that. It's a packed 4 days, and I also want to emphasize we have this film called Imperial Blue, which is basically the opening night film. We like to take chances. You see, we could have gone with a more regular sci-fi feature. God knows we have plenty of them, but this one is from Uganda. You know, how many good sci-fi films do you see coming out of Uganda? And the cast is mostly from there. In fact, some of the producers will be there. The director is from America, and it kind of reminded me of the cinematography a little bit of The Serpent and the Rainbow. For those who haven't seen it, that's a film that came out back in the 80s that explores an anthropologist search for the quote-unquote voodoo, the voodoo effects in Haiti, and he found out it had to do with a toxin which existed in a fish byproduct. So it has that kind of quality. It's a psychedelic sci-fi. So I'm very happy to really promote, and because I think that if anything, this festival is also a reflection of the diversity. We got films from men and women, multiple, various ethnic groups, various cultural groups, and they're all sharing basically the same universal, the love for Philip K. Dick and the message that he so much promoted in his films. So, it's a really great time. I mean, to have these films, I'd say PKD is more relevant than ever. What's happening? For instance, down the line later on this year, we are having another festival in London, and London might be the most all these cameras and facial recognition technology straight out of a Minority Report. So he definitely has the finger on the pulse. But more important than that is his questioning of what not to accept 100% any narrative that you read or hear about. It doesn't matter, to really always preserve a very skeptical, open-minded, but very skeptical that there's no one narrative that fully describes the reality, the multiple realities. That's the idea of his exploration of multiple realities. So I think the one thing that I really appreciate about him is that he has the, it's a kind of an exploration, an inner exploration of what it means, how can one arrive in some sort of engagement with the world without dogma or without believing any one's position. And that's more important than ever today. We have a very polarized country. Both sides believe they're on the right. they're holders of the truth, and neither one of them really sees the other side. So somewhere in the middle, there is a synthesis of opposing views which needs to emerge to truly unify who we are. And I think one of them is coming to really question anything you believe on, and you believe in, rather. Really keep questioning, and if it doesn't conform to your experience, then change it. And that's, I think, that's one of the major themes that Philip K. Dick explores in his stories. And it's also about the common man, not a superhero, you know? So hopefully the films that we have in this year's selection really have characters that are from all walks of life. And it's not they're not driven by action or by any special effects. It's more that internal tension. And that's the key thing. I mean, there are a lot of worlds to be explored and a lot of writers and a lot of themes. And that's why we really feel that's essential, not to fall back in the perennial sci-fi tropes that exist out there, because they've been done and overdone. So there's a lot of good stuff. And my book, Sci-Fi, is really, as I said before, is the science of the future. So let's start really pushing those boundaries and reinventing the medium. Look at how the cultures look at sci-fi, how they treat sci-fi. And that's really where I think this festival is making some, sort of sets itself apart from other sci-fi festivals. You know?
Well, I hope everyone really appreciates the hard work you put into this festival every single year, the attention to detail, the desire to have as many diverse voices tell their stories, get to tell their stories on film, to share them with people. The movie you were talking about, Imperial Blue, premieres Wednesday, March 4th, with the Q&A with filmmakers afterwards. So that itself, the fact that that's opening the festival, sounds like a real highlight to me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it sets it apart from other films. It's not so much based upon technology, but it's more about internal dynamics of what it means to be human and how these characters come to grips with the supernatural, with other elements that exist. So, that is definitely one of the main feature highlights of the program.
Cool. Well, we will have links to the website, the Philip K. Dick Film Festival website, and where people can buy tickets. Again, the festival is happening Wednesday, March 4th through Sunday, March 8th at the Museum of the Moving Image in New York City. Daniel, thank you so much for sharing your passion again. This, like I said, this has become one of my favorite events, and one day I will get to attend.
Well, I'm hoping one of these days we actually meet face to face. But in the meantime, Summer, really thanks a lot for helping us spread the message. As you know, we're all very passionate about this, and indie sci-fi, and we need people like you. And really, because it's very hard to get sponsors or real big heavy hitters, because they're interested in their superhero films, which are fine. But we like to take the road less traveled, so to speak. We like to go where others have not, and with the intention of discovering new gems along the way. That's what really gets us out of bed every morning.
Yeah, the same type of stories, even though they are exciting superhero stories, eventually they become sort of rote and boring, and we need more variety than that, because our own imaginations crave that wide breadth of different types of stories.
Well, absolutely. I think we're beginning to see that recognition of that. And there's a real, even when you start dealing with superheroes or comic book characters, you got to start exploring. You can't just treat them two-dimensionally. Then we begin to see them in the new crop of films. And of course, in the indie sci-fi, we take that one step further and really start exploring how can we open up new doorways to the imagination.
Yeah, indie sci-fi, indie horror are passion projects of mine. And again, thank you for doing such a wonderful job bringing as many of those to our attention as possible.
Well, thank you, Summer.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi. Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic, we've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching. Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
Hey guys, this is Arjun Gupta from Sci-Fi's The Magician. You are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And we are going to try to have a couple of interviews, maybe with some of the feature directors from some of the films from this year's Philip K. Dick Film Festival. Still waiting to see if that's actually a possibility, but hope springs eternal, doesn't it? I wonder what Philip would say. Anyway, you have time to go get tickets to attend this year's festival. The festival is March 4th through March 8th at the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria, New York City. Go check it out if you're in the area and looking for something unique to do. We have, actually, I think next week that Secret Sauce contest will start up. Still looking for a few winners of the Scary Stories documentary DVD. If you're not checking your email, go check it now. If you just don't want it, reply and let me know. And I will grab another handful of entrants and see if they want a copy. I'm just assuming that people who enter a contest want the swag. If I'm wrong, let me know. Maybe we can play some sort of different puzzle game. Anyway, if you have any questions about any of this, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976 or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through Apple Podcasts, through Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. If you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please leave us a review. Let other people know you are enjoying Slice of Sci-Fi and they should check it out for themselves. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. And yes, I will get into conversations with people about various geeky things, television, film, and comic book related. Come on over and join in the fun. And you can also follow us on Facebook or YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over there. And of course, there is the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on by, leave a comment, chime in on a interview you enjoyed, a review you disagreed with. All geeky discussions and disagreements, welcome. But play nice, just saying. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping support Slice of Sci-Fi and the other podcasts and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi playground. Your support really does help keep the lights on around here, so thank you all. If you want to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Join in, and you're automatically on the list to potentially win a perk. Stuff to give away every month, and we need people to accept these gifts, because I'm running out of space. Just saying. If a monthly pledge is not something you can commit to right now, you just want to give a few bucks every now and then, that link to use for that is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. And thank you everyone who is donating to help support these efforts here. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care. Mm-hmm.